In this week's County Dentist podcast, we speak to Kirsty Chappell, who is a dental hygienist, a therapist, and also the founder of Kirsty Smile Academy. Kirsty, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody?
Hi everyone, thank you for popping on and listening to me wherever you are. I am Kirsty, I'm a dental hygiene therapist, and I decided to create an app, Kirsty Smile Academy, in order to give patients somewhere they can go when they've forgotten what I've said in clinic to be able to keep looking after their smile at home.
But they've forgotten what you said in the clinic. You sound like you've got specialised in forgetful patients.
Well, I think so. When patients are in surgery, they're so eager to get their treatment done and kind of leave, and they've got a busy day to get on with. They don't always take on board everything I've said, because when they come back for their second appointment and I say, right, this is what we discussed at the last appointment, their eyes literally roll and said, oh my gosh, I haven't done any of that. I forgot what you said. Or they'll remember like one bit. So I do try now to give patients less kind of advice, but like key piece of advice at every appointment. But when they are really eager to take on board the information, I kind of just thought, if I can put this somewhere the patients are able to access at a time that's more convenient for them, where they've got a little chill time, they can take the information on board, then it's working a lot better, because I'm not sort of bombarding patients in surgery and they can take on the information in smaller bite-sized chunks and seem to be doing a lot better with their home care routines when they come for their next appointments.
Okay, I mean, makes perfect sense. Sounds very wise. Going back a bit, what made you decide to pursue a career in the dental profession in the first place?
Oh, I love this. So I was going back and forth my orthodontic appointments with my mum, and we'd go down to Cardiff, and the surgery door would be open and they would just be having a ball. They would just be laughing and giggling and having a great time. And my mother would like comment and say, like, this is such a nice environment to work in. You know, the hours would be nice, you wouldn't have to work outside. So I thought, okay, but I'm not really intelligent enough to be doing any of this. So I had my boyfriend at the time, his parents were moving him down to Portsmouth. So he went for a Navy open day and I went with him, and dentistry came up and they spoke about all the different roles within dentistry. So I decided then I'd look into dental technician. I thought that might be an avenue I could pursue. And then I looked into dental nursing and I really liked that role. So I thought, okay, I'll be a dental nurse, I'll do that. Applied to the Heath Hospital, they had a dental nursing course. I got onto that. And then my biology teacher pulled me aside and she was like, Kirsty, I've heard that you want to leave and do an apprenticeship in dental nursing. If that's what you want to do, great, but please stay on and do your A levels. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, someone believes that maybe I could do a little bit more, because I did find school really hard. I didn't do very well at all. I had to work hard at school, but I thought, okay. And then, long story short, I did work hard, and I then gained the qualifications I needed to be able to go on and do dental hygiene therapy. But I did do the dental nursing course first, and I would generally say that anyone thinking of looking to access like dentistry as a career, doing the dental nursing gives you such a good insight into if that's a career you do want to follow. And I think after doing the dental nursing, I really realized that I wanted to be a dental hygiene therapist, and I just worked so hard to then be able to achieve that.
Wow. And when you got into practice, was the experience of working in a practice as you remember it when you're going there as a child with your mother? Is it exactly as you thought it would be?
Well, hopefully my patients think so. Hopefully my patients come back and think that I have a ball in surgery. I love working with my nurses. We're really, really good friends outside of work as well. I think patients would be the best people to ask that. However, I do think that was the reason why I wanted to become a dental hygiene therapist, because as a dental nurse, you can have a great day if you've got the great operator to sort of be working with, and it can be a long time in surgery working with an operator, because as a dental nurse, you have an understanding of treatments and how you'd like your patients to be treated. But if you're not the operator, it can be difficult. Whereas I'm the operator, I kind of feel I've got a little bit more control in how I want the appointments to go. And working with the girls, then we definitely, hopefully, make a nice, fun, calming, reassuring environment for patients to have their treatment in.
Okay. And, there've been some changes to the profession recently, and kind of most notably direct access. Has that changed the way that you work?
Definitely. I opened a direct access surgery in 2014. So I had my own surgery, which was great. However, I think there needs to be a lot more work done in patients knowing and having the awareness that they can book appointments directly with a dental hygienist. I personally think that there's a lot of patients that are aware of private dentistry, but they think that's for private dental cosmetic work, that they're unaware that routine dental examinations and routine dental work can be accessed through booking appointments direct with private dentists and dental surgeries.
Okay. So you're kind of a practicing hygienist and you have a Smile Academy. Why did you get into the kind of education area? Is it because, did you feel that there was a gap in the market, or did you feel that it was something you were going to be good at, or how did you decide to do that?
I just love the education part. I think it's really sad that statistically, if you look at dental treatments, like we're still carrying out the same dental treatments that we were years ago, and the profession doesn't really seem to have moved on in the terms of like patients being educated, and prevention has to really come to the forefront of dentistry. We are doing, patients just think it's normal to have like filling after filling and then needing root canals and needing teeth out. They think that's like a normal process of like aging. And we need to go back to basics and really get patients understanding their role in maintaining a healthy smile, because I think patients still feel that if they've got bad teeth, it's kind of genetics, it's not really their fault, it's nothing that they can control. And we really need to highlight the importance that proper, effective oral care can have the biggest impact on dental treatment that's needed. And also the systemic diseases that are associated with poor oral care, and gum disease is linked to so many systemic diseases, and sometimes that's kind of a way for patients to recognize if they're not always sort of motivated to brush their teeth, they might want to take a whole health approach, and if they want to reduce their likelihood of developing certain systemic diseases, that their oral care could be a big part of that.
Do you think the government and the NHS does enough to educate the population as to oral health and things like that?
I think this is a huge subject matter, and I think the recent statements that tooth brushing is going to begin in school and we're going to have sort of teachers taking that as part of the curriculum and what they're going to be offering at school. I think I have local MPs as patients, I have teachers as patients, I have people that are really well educated and have a diverse background of jobs, and I'm teaching them how to use a toothbrush, because they've never been taught that before. And I think that they are still in that group and category of people that don't have the awareness that they really do have the ability to change the future of their teeth and their smile. And if they are not sort of realizing that, I think that needs to come from dentistry, and we need to really educate the population as a whole. I think a lot of time when people talk about teeth, they're talking about people with maybe from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And there are still people who are really well educated and they, got great professions, but children are still being put under general anaesthetic to have the, deciduous dentition removed. And they think that's okay. So it's really difficult when you've got patients who do feel that they are doing everything because they're brushing their teeth, because they put a toothbrush in their mouth, they think they're doing everything that they need to be doing. And that's just, it's not anything that's under their control. So I do genuinely think that there needs to be a huge change in how dentistry is seen.
So the step that you've taken to help with kind of education and kind of fulfillment of better things that you can do is the kind of the Kirsty Smile Academy. So tell us a bit about what you do in the Smile Academy.
So in the Smile Academy, I just took the Department of Health's Delivering Better Oral Care. I broke that down into 28 days. So there's a 15-step sort of blueprint on how, what I do every day to look after my smile. And then there's 28 days of shorter, smaller videos that gives people the motivation and small little. So we'll go through and just to implement one aspect of your daily oral routine, daily care, and speak about that in a little bit more depth, hopefully to get reiterate the points of why it's important to be looking after your smile at home.
Okay. Do you think that social media, kind of YouTube and things like that, and the proliferation of how-to videos have been helpful or not to the profession?
I think they're great. I think there's a lot of education and advice out there that's really put together really, really well. Unfortunately, I do think then there's a lot of celebrities and there's a lot of TV programs that are out there that are highlighting to patients that white teeth and a white smile, the perfect white veneers, are what's sort of healthy, and that's like the main idea of having a nice smile without looking at like the implications of having this dental work done. There's a lot of products that are out there that are advertised. I was looking at a mouthwash yesterday and it said that it was five times more effective than flossing. If you've got patients that are seeing these advertised by different celebrities and being endorsed by different companies, then they think that, that's going to be five times more effective than flossing, and that's going to be a really good product for them to get. And they'll sometimes believe into the marketing behind that when we know that that's not true. Like, no mouthwash is going to be five times more effective than flossing. So there's a lot of money to be made from different sort of avenues and advertising. And if people can get a sort of quick fix, they'll go for that instead of just going back to basics.
Yep, I can understand what you're saying there. So there's lots of good things, but you have to approach everything with a note of caution. You have to really check that it's true. I understand that. So you talk about your two roles. That must be very time consuming. So how do you manage your time between kind of being a practicing hygienist, being an educator? Are they two separate businesses, or is one part of the other?
I think it's difficult, especially with social media and trying to advertise and trying to get the Smile Academy where I want it to be. It's a constant role that I have sort of running alongside my clinical work. So if I have a little time during surgery hours or before, then I'll try and put together a little post. I need to get better at scheduling things. There are platforms out there that can help me with that. But yeah, I think last year I had the goal that I wanted. I had a big event that I wanted to do, and I did that and completed that. So I do need to refocus and spend a lot more time on the Smile Academy to get where I want to be. It can be difficult. It can be difficult.
Do
But
you
yeah,
think
that's something I need to work on.
So do you think kind of one of the biggest stresses you have in work is managing your time?
In work, that's fine because that's just kind of work time. So I won't, if it's before work or if I don't have a patient show up, then I can utilize that time. But no, otherwise, it can't, the only, yeah, utilizing time within dentistry can be difficult when you have a patient booked in for a certain procedure. And every procedure can be different. It depends on the patient. But that doesn't influence the time that I spend on the app at all. No, I do that
Okay.
separately.
Okay, fair enough. How do you deal with the stresses of the profession? I mean, you talked at the beginning about a very kind of happy friendly, joyful environment, and I think we all know that working in the dental profession can be incredibly stressful. Have there been any really stressful situations that you've had to deal with?
Really stressful situations. I'm not really good with stress, to be honest. I don't think, like, I'll come up with cold sores. I always come up with them, but I never kind of really feel that I get stressed particularly. I think something that does make me a bit anxious sometimes is, as a dental hygiene therapist, we follow prescription from dentists, and it can be difficult when you're presented with a treatment plan for a patient and you have a different idea of how you should be treating that patient, or the option that the dentist and patients have decided. So sometimes there'll be a little bit, back and forth, or I'll pop into the dentist room and I'll just say, "Oh no, can I just have a query with this?" And I will always query something. I won't do anything that I'm not happy to do. That can be a bit anxious, having to go into the dentist room and be like, "Oh, come on, can I just query this? Can I just check that?" Because, they've clearly given a treatment plan that's been decided on, particularly if there's been a bit of time between the patient's initial exam and then having their appointments with us. But generally, it's absolutely okay. But sometimes when you get a little bit of disagreement, then what the dentist think should happen and what you think should happen, that can be a little bit anxious. That's why it's really important to be really open and have really good communication with your team around you, so that you understand how each other work.
Okay, I mean, I think in every industry there's always friction between members of staff at points, and you don't always agree. So I think that's fairly standard. I mean, we've talked about educating patients, and clearly education is important to you. Do you feel that the kind of the profession does enough to train everybody that works in a practice?
I think that's something that needs to go back to university, to be honest with you. I think there's a lot of time that we are spent actually doing the clinical job side and the practical work, but everyone learns differently. Every patient's going to take advice on differently. We all have different learning styles, and I do think that is something, going back to prevention. Like, there's no point in me doing much treatment in the dental surgery if patients are not going to go home and make any changes, because we're just going to be redoing that filling in X amount of years. That plaque is going to build back up. So I do think that's something that needs to be implemented at university. I don't really recall spending a lot of time on the way that we can educate and the different ways around that. I think it's just a personal way of how we kind of learn, and we just try and present it to patients in that way. So I think that is something that should be and could be completed better when we are going through our training.
Think kind of lack of training or kind of insufficient education does a lot to kind of impact on stress within the profession. Do people find themselves in stressful situations that they aren't really qualified to deal with, which must be particularly difficult when you're dealing with a human being?
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't.
Is there a potential for kind of lack of sufficient education to cause stress within the workplace? Because sometimes you don't feel qualified enough to kind of provide the solution or the care that the patient needs.
It can be difficult when patients have particular queries, and like, you can have a patient that can. They'll say, like, "Kirsty, I am doing this and I am doing this and I do want to keep my smile." And you're trying to put the advice over in a way that you think the patient's going to understand, but maybe they just sort of don't get it. And going back to what I said about, like, certain advertising, if I'm going to recommend a brand for something and a product from a brand, and patients think, "Oh, Kirsty, trust this brand," and they've got other things available, patients, I think there's a lack. I'm not answering the question properly, am I?
Doesn't matter.
I find that question difficult. So
Okay,
we'll try it again.
let's move on to a different question. So you are a very upbeat positive character. And I've been asking you a lot about the stresses and the difficulties involved in the profession, and a kind of all of your feedback is, unbelievably upbeat and positive. So I'm going to take your advice, and I'm going to ask you a question. Can you give us one really positive piece of information that anyone considering a role in the profession should know?
I say go for it. I love my job. I think it's the best job ever. When patients come in and they're quite shy and they don't really want to talk to you and they won't make a lot of eye contact. And sometimes you think like, oh, this patient just doesn't want to be here. And then you do the treatment and they just kind of look and they're like, oh my gosh, I have not visited the surgery for so long. I've been putting off this treatment for so long because I didn't think there was anything you could do. I thought I was going to come and you're going to tell me that you're going to have to take all my teeth out. And they see the transformation that we can make in just like small appointments. Because I think patients think they have this idea that their teeth sort of can't be saved and there's nothing that we can do without actually visiting a surgery and being told of the different options available. And then when you manage to really help patients with something that's really been an insecurity for them for a long time, and you change that around and you see their faces. There's nothing like that. When you're able to save someone's smile and they like can then smile and talk and they got a lot more confidence and they come back for their second and third appointments and they really start to take on board the messages and they see the changes, it's amazing. They can go for different jobs, they've got a lot more confidence, they can go out and things and enjoy their life a lot more. So I do think the dentistry is not a career for someone that is not going to have their whole heart in it, because it is a big part. It's a big, your smile is a big part of your whole self, I think. And to help someone have a healthy smile, that's something quite special.
I couldn't agree more. I have one last question for you. As we're at the start of the year, so what's next for you? What big plans or changes will you be making in 2024?
I need to definitely put a lot more effort and a lot more work into Kirsty Smile Academy. I'm really not sure that, I mean, I've got a small amount of patients that are really, really enjoying it. I want to spread that as far as I can. I just need to work on my advertising and how I'm going to be delivering that to the wider sort of public. And that's going to be my main focus, because it is difficult when you're working hard at something and you're thinking, oh, should I bother? Do people actually want to know this? Are people interested? But then when you get good feedback, it does kind of make you think, oh my gosh, yeah, I will keep going with it. I will keep going. So yeah, that's my main goal and focus this year, is to try and improve my delivery and awareness on the Smile Academy, because there's a lot of patients out there. There's a lot of people out there that are not patients. They can't access routine dental care. So the more that they can do the home, then the at least we can sort of try and help them implement good oral care practices, so the less dental treatment that will be needed.
Sounds like you have a plan. Kirsty, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.